Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. Later in this hour, the night before Christmas on the Let's Pretend series from 1953, but right now an unlikely Christmas story on suspense. Evelyn Rudy, a 7-year-old actress at the time, stars in the CBS broadcast from December 22, 1957, called Dog Star.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
There are many kinds of suspense, but the happiest suspense is the kind we share at this time of year with our children. The suspense which has its denouement next Wednesday morning. The suspense of what Santa Claus is bringing for Christmas. For the little girl in the upcoming story, however, there is no such suspense. All she wants for Christmas is a dog, and a dog she is certainly not going to get. To play this unhappy little girl, we have invited a most talented little girl to make her first appearance on radio. Already a star of TV and motion pictures, 7-year-old Evelyn Rudy now adds another medium to the domain of her talents. Listen. Listen then as Evelyn Rudy stars in Dog Star, which begins in exactly 1 minute.
When the United States was still a young and growing nation, there came forth from all parts of the country idealists to create utopia. For example, there was John Humphrey Noyes, who dreamed up the Oneida community in New York in 1847. It was designed to do away with sin and greed. In order to keep the community alive, small manufacturing industries were started. By 1880, the community living plan had died, and the industries had grown to great proportion and nationwide reputation. Had backfired, his efforts provided a contribution to American industry. Another idealist who seemingly had in mind the health and happiness of Americans was Henry Club. About 1855, Mr. Club got the idea that people would be healthier if they were vegetarians. He thought they'd be happier if they lived in octagon-shaped houses on octagon-shaped parcels of land in octagon-shaped cities. Unfortunately for Mr. Club, he decided to establish Octagonal City, the center of the Vegetarian Settlement Company, in a pretty dusty spot in Kansas. After one look at the hardships to be encountered on the barren plains, nearly every one of the subscribers to the vegetarian community went back to the non-vegetarian East Coast. One after another, communal living experiments bloomed, faded, and disappeared. There were the Shakers, the Separatists of Zoar, the Rappatite Harmonists, Brook Farm, and many others, all planned toward better living and better people. Dreamers of the American dream can't be judged merely on the basis of success or failure, for failure can show people of the future what not to do. American men and women built the United States into a great nation because they conceived their ideas and tried them out. This is indeed part of the great American dream. A dream which has become a decisive reality.
And now, Dog Star, starring Evelyn Rudy. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Honest, Daddy. The only thing I want for Christmas is a dog. Even if it isn't exactly the kind Mike was, that's all I want.
Ray, please.
Sorry.
Well, if she weren't such a tomboy, it'd be different. But can you imagine getting Julie a dollhouse or a painting set or a party dress?
I'm sorry, Anne. And Julie, no dog.
Then you shop for her. I'm tired of roaming around like a zombie in every store in town. You find her present.
If I can't have a dog again, I just don't care what I get.
Now listen, both of you. I like dogs just as much as you do. I loved Mike, too. But Julie loves them too much. She hasn't eaten a decent meal since Mike got killed. And it's not going to happen again. We're not going to put her happiness at the mercy of another brainless pup and every idiot speeder in town.
It wasn't Mike's fault. It was my fault. I should have kept him in the yard. It was my fault, but honest. I'd never, never, never let my pup out again if I could just have one.
Julie.
Honey, suppose I got you a bike. A big bike, a 26, okay?
But, Daddy, I don't want a bike. I want a dog.
Julie, come back here. It's getting dark.
Let her go, Ray. I said she could play with Timmy. Let her go.
Hey, Julie, what happened? Are you going to get a dog for Christmas?
No.
Hey, Julie, I got an idea. See, I asked my dad for a dog, and we moved Mike's doghouse over to my yard, and we can both play with him. How about that?
Thanks, Timmy, but no, it just isn't the same.
No, I guess not. Hey, Julie, I got my flashlight with me. You know what?
What?
Let's go up to Palmer Canyon and see if any ducks have flown onto the pond this evening.
I don't feel like it, Timmy. Honest.
Oh, come on. We might even see a goose. But how do the ducks find their way all the way down here from the north?
Oh, it's something called instinct.
Hey, what was that?
Golly, I don't know.
Sure was close.
Sure was.
Oh, it was a tree falling, I bet. Hey, here's the pond. Come on, Julie.
I'm coming.
Oakdale Police, Lieutenant Spencer speaking.
Oh, this is Professor Goodwin at the observatory.
Oh, yes, Professor.
Lieutenant, for the past half hour, we've been tracking one of their later satellites. It landed about 3 minutes ago.
Huh?
We have a fix. It hit the Palmer Canyon area of Oakdale.
Yeah, you sure?
Positive. I'm leaving now. And, Lieutenant, I think you better get some men up there, quick.
Sergeant, get 3 cars up to Palmer Canyon. Emergency. I'll call the off section for guard duty. And,
yes,
and call the chief on the highway patrol. Call the mayor, too. Tell him a satellite landed in Palmer Canyon.
Well, I guess it's getting too late in the year for the ducks.
Yes, we better start back home.
What was that?
What?
I thought I heard a dog crying.
I didn't.
It is two. There's a dog down there by the pond. Where's the flashlight?
Here.
A little white dog.
Oh, his legs are hurt. He can hardly crawl, it looks like.
Oh, he's bleeding. And he's wearing something all torn up. Timmy, somebody must have tortured him.
Yeah, poor fella. Hey, his tail's wagging. He likes you, Julie.
Oh, poor little thing. Timmy, I'm going to keep him.
What'll your dad say?
We'll hide him. They won't torture you anymore. They won't hurt you anymore. We'll hide you.
Where will you hide him?
Like you said, we'll put Mike's old doghouse in your yard and take care of him there. Maybe when he's well, Daddy'll let me keep him.
Okay. Well, come on. Here.
No, I'll carry him. Look to me.
What?
He licked me. He licked my face.
You and Maury take the uphill side. And don't let anybody near the parachute unless Professor Goodwin says to.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Okay, Professor, I guess that covers it.
Well, I'll sure be glad when the Air Force gets here. Just think where this thing has been.
Yeah. It looks like a metal beach ball with portholes.
Hmm.
Hey, what's this, Professor? An oxygen mask for a midget?
Why, there was something in here. A dog, I bet. And this got knocked off its head.
And it chewed its way out of its harness. Here, look.
Here, we've got to find it.
There's blood on the ground, Professor. It won't go far.
We have got to find it, Lieutenant. We've got to find it.
For a long, long time, women have figured in the affairs of men. Yes, even in that masculine-dominated activity called war. And not only since World War II. During the Civil War in the United States, the battlefront saw many women laboring as nurses and sanitary workers. Quite a few others disguised themselves as men, enlisted in the infantry, and charged into battle until they were discovered to be women and were sent home to tend to their knitting. But some women were used as spies by both sides. And when it came to spying, Mata Hari was a slouch compared to Emma Edmonds. Emma had originally prepared to become a missionary nurse in Africa. But when the Civil War broke out, she changed her plans and signed up as a Union Army nurse. After months of nursing and fighting, at Bull Run and other battles, Emma Edmonds heard that General George McClellan was looking for a replacement for a Yankee spy who had been executed in Richmond. She volunteered for the job, suggesting that her gifts of mimicry and disguise, which she had used to entertain the soldiers, might be put to some use. After being interviewed by 7 generals, tested on her military knowledge and ability to ride and shoot, and proving that she could fool her closest friends with her effective disguises, Emma Edmonds was accepted as a Union spy. 11 times she risked her life crossing back and forth through the battle lines while gathering vital military information, which she reported to her commanding officer. During the dangerous missions, she successfully passed herself off as many different characters, both Negro and white, male and female. Although she was nearly discovered several times, she continued her work undaunted. Between spying assignments, she continued to nurse the sick and wounded. The story of Emma Edmonds is one of hazard and adventure, a story of a woman who endangered her life that her country should live.
And now, starring Evelyn Rudy, Act 2 of Dog Star.
More coffee, Ray?
I'm late as it is. Imagine that satellite practically landing in our backyard. What an age. Well, I've got to get down to the office. I'll be back early to help with the tree. Goodbye, Julie.
Bye, Daddy.
Now, will you please take care of that thing for Julie we were talking about?
Julie, Timmy, come in. Hand me a knife, quick.
What are you doing?
Cutting him some meat, quick.
Here. I was just looking at him. I got him a blanket, like you said.
How is he?
Oh, he's asleep. Here comes your mother. Give me the meat. Here, put it in your pocket.
Hello, Mrs. Roberts.
Hello, Timmy. What are you two up to?
Nothing.
Now, here is further word on the satellite, which returned to Earth last night in Palmer Canyon. An overseas monitored report confirms the guess that there was a dog in the parachuted container.
Joy!
It is a small white husky similar to Laika, the ill-fated first space traveler. This one is called Chitka and wears its name on its collar. It was announced that it is trained to react to this name.
Julie, I was listening.
I'm sorry, Mommy. Can I go out and play?
You didn't finish your cereal. All right.
Julie, did you hear what he said?
It's not the same dog.
It sounds like it is.
It does not. Now, shut up.
Okay, Julie. And here he is.
Hi, Mike. We'll call him Mike. Look, he's opening his eyes. Give me the meat. Here, Mike. Oh, look, he won't eat it.
He's pretty sick, Julie. Hey, let's see his collar.
No.
Hey, it's all funny letters, Julie. I can't read it.
I'm going to take it off.
Say his name, Julie.
Mike.
No, the one the radio said.
No.
We've got to know, Julie.
I forget.
No, you don't. You never forget anything.
Chitka. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I won't let them take you back. I'm going to keep you anyway.
And now more on the Chitka story. On this Christmas Eve, the little white dog has not yet been found, although he is thought to be injured. All veterinarians in the area have been alerted.
Well,
we return you now
that satellite really shook up this town. Cops all over the place looking for the pooch.
Dad, if we found him, if our country found him, would we have to send him back?
I'm just a small-town lawyer, honey. They're a big shot straining their brains on that one. We'd have to stick to international law, of course.
It's Timmy. I'll go.
Now, don't be long.
I won't. Hi, Timmy. How is he?
Well, I just looked at him, Julia. I think he's awful sick.
Come on, then. Have you got the flashlight?
Yeah. Here it is. He just lies there panting like.
Oh, he's got to be all right. He's got to be. Oh, Mike. Oh, nice little dog. He's sick, Timmy.
Yeah, he sure is.
Oh, Mike, don't die. Please don't die. Give me the blanket, Timmy.
What are you going to do?
Come on, Mike. Come on, nice little dog.
They all know about him. I heard it on the radio.
I have to. I can't let him die.
The Republic of the Philippines has been described as the most luxuriant group of tropical islands in the world. It has fertile coastal plains and valleys, rich forests, and mineral-laden mountains. The archipelago contains more than 7,000 islands, and most of the population is concentrated on 11 of them. Ownership of land is one of the primary symbols of social position, since the typical Filipino is a farmer whose roots are deep in the soil he tills. Unlike our farmers, whose homes are generally on their farm, the Filipino taos, or farmers, live in small settlements or barrios and walk to work in the nearby fields. The average Filipino home has one or two rooms and is made of bamboo and woven palm leaves. It is set on bamboo posts about 4 to 6 feet above the ground. This elevation not only keeps the house dry during the rainy season, but also provides shelter for the family animals. The Filipino family is closely knit and is built on a strong foundation of understanding between parent and children. An interesting note is the fact that the woman almost always handles the family finances. Since their inception as a democratic nation, the Republic of the Philippines has continued to grow in stature as an active member of the international community.
And now, starring Evelyn Rudy, Act Three of Dog Star.
Somebody will give us a ride. They've got to. Please stop this one. Please stop.
Yeah, kid? Where you going?
Central Avenue, sir. Anywhere on Central.
Okay, hop in. Where you get there, kid?
My dog.
He shed any of that fur?
No, sir.
Central Avenue, eh? What are you going down there for on Christmas Eve? A short beer, huh?
No, sir. A vet, I mean.
A vet? Hey, that dog hurt? Hey, look, he's bleeding from the mouth. Okay, kid, out.
Oh, mister, can't you please take us?
Now, listen, these are no seat covers. Out.
Oh, Mike. Stay alive just 5 minutes. The vet'll make you well. Just 5 minutes. There's a light there. Somebody's home. They've got to be.
I'm awfully sorry. We're close. Oh, I see, honey. Yes. A doctor.
Coming. And what seems to be the trouble, little girl?
I'm Julie Roberts. And this is Mike, and I'm afraid he'll die.
Oh, now isn't that too bad? Say, what kind of a dog is that, Julie?
A sort of a husky.
Yeah? Where'd you get him?
My dad got him for me. And tonight a car hit him and...
Yeah. Martha, hand me that police circular.
Here you are, Doctor.
We'll just put him on the operating table. Chit-chat. Call the police, Martha.
Right, Doctor.
Then I want you to take its blood pressure while I get a sample of blood and... let's see. Just call the Air Force base and ask them to send a flight surgeon down here.
Yes, sir.
Just tell them to hurry. I'm putting him away. I'm sorry, Julie.
Putting him away?
He's paralyzed, Julie. He couldn't run and play or do anything you'd want him to. Even if they'd let you keep him.
But I'd take care of him anyway, Doctor. I'd bring him his food and take care of him. Don't call them. Don't kill him. Give him back.
Honey, it's no use. He'd just suffer. You wouldn't want that.
Oh, Mike, nice boy. See, Doctor, he licked me. He'll get better.
No, he won't Julie. You wait in the hall, and I'll ask the police to take you home.
Oh, Mike, Mike.
Oakdale Police.
Yes, ma'am?
No kidding. Yeah, well, thank you, ma'am. Hey, Scoop, you want to get that AP job in New York? Here's your chance. That pooch just turned up at the Parks Dog and Cat Hospital.
Holy cow! Thanks, Sarge.
That is right, operator. I want embassy. I don't care what time they tell you is in Washington. Tell them he's about Chitka. C-H-I-T-K-A. Tell them he's Kaleg.
Central Intelligence? Now, look, this is Peters in Oakdale. You give me the chief? Merry Christmas, chief. The dog turned up. Yeah, some kid had it. That's right, a little girl. Name of Julie Roberts, 354 Parkdale Terrace, Oakdale. Yeah, I'm sober. A little girl.
Кто случилось, Читка? Это другой вопрос американский выходка. Читка, советская собака. Американский. Держали. Полк Читка. Померла. Это оскорбление? Советский Republic.
And Julie, here's the present from your mother and me.
A bike. A big buck. Thanks, Daddy.
You may need it to outrun the reporters.
It's just wonderful.
But, it isn't a dog.
No.
Well, your mother and I were talking, and I think, wait. Yes? Washington?
Who? Ann, get me a drink.
Before breakfast? Well, what is
get
it?
Get me a drink.
Yes? Yeah. This is her father. Oh, sir, I can't believe a crate. No, sir, not yet. Yes, sir, we'll be expecting it. Oh, thank you, sir, and a very merry Christmas to you.
Ray, what's wrong? You're white as a sheet.
Anna, give me that drink.
Dad, what's the Air Force car doing outside? Look, they're bringing a box up the walk.
Oh, and this room's a mess.
Yes? Major?
Merry Christmas, sir. Is this where Julie Roberts lives?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Did the White House call, sir?
Yes.
Okay, open it up, Sergeant.
It's a puppy. A little white puppy.
It's for you, Julie, if your folks don't mind.
They don't.
Major, won't you sit down?
No, ma'am. I have a little girl to get back to myself. Merry Christmas, folks.
Ray, who was that on the phone?
And when I tell you, you'll never believe me. You'll never believe me.
Evelyn Rudy starred in William N. Robeson's production of Dog Star by Michael Frost. Supporting Evelyn Rudy in Dog Star were Shirley Mitchell, Dick Beale, Shep Minkin, Jack Crucian, Sam Pierce, Ben Wright, Lou Krugman, and Norm Alden.
The preceding Trading special Christmas presentation has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday from December 22, 1957 on CBS. Evelyn Rudy, the young actress, would go on to star in more television shows of the 1950s and early 60s, and as of the 1970s became co-artistic director of the Santa Monica Playhouse, performing in and staging hundreds of productions. You're listening to an hour of Christmas broadcasts on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now, The Night Before Christmas, as told by one of the most popular kids' shows of the golden age of radio, Let's Pretend, from December 19, 1953, on CBS.
Hello, hello, come on, let's go, it's time for Let's Pretend. The gang's all here and standing near is Uncle Bill, your friend. The story is exciting from start right to the end. So everyone come join the fun. Come on and let's pretend.
Yes, from New York City, it's radio's outstanding children's theater, Let's Pretend, created by Nyla Mack. And now, here's Uncle Bill Adams to get us started on today's story, The Night Before Christmas.
Hello, pretenders. Well, you all ready with your sparklers and flags and firecrackers to celebrate the holidays that's coming? Oh, hey, I am a little mixed up at that. It's not 4th of July coming up, something else. What's its name now?
Christmas,
of course. And here on Let's Pretend, it's the night before Christmas. Let's all pile into a toboggan and get going. How about it, Gwen?
Okay, Uncle Bill. Magical carpenters, a speedy red toboggan, please. One, two, three. Oh, boy, pile on, everybody. Hang on tight and let's go.
Not once upon a time, but every time Christmas over the world. It begins as Mother tucks Sally Ann and Teddy into bed.
There now, Sally Ann. You too, Teddy. Cuddle down and remember the faster you go to sleep tonight, the faster morning will come. So both of you close your eyes now and dream about... Oh, let's see now.
The spaceship I want Santa to bring.
The doll with her own lipstick that I want.
Well, all right. And see if you can't also dream about a spangly Christmas tree. A Christmas tree all hung with candy canes and with a lovely sugar plum fairy at the top of it.
Oh, I like that, Mother. I'll dream about the tree and the sugar plum fairy.
I will, too. Good night, Mommy.
Good night, darling. Good night.
Children, are you dreaming?
Dreaming? I guess we both must be.
There's a sugar plum all gleaming.
It's the sugar plum fairy from the Christmas tree.
Hello, Sally Ann. Hello, Teddy dear.
Hello, Sugar Plum. Say, how can you be here?
I've brought you dreams of Christmas joys, dear to the hearts of girls and boys, of sleds and dolls and candy sticks, and elephants with magic tricks.
of China steps, electric trains, a baby's carriage, tanks and planes, a set of tools within a chest, that party dress that you liked best, a pair of skis, a music box, a muffler matching brand new socks, a Boy Scout knife, a jumping rope, and a Mickey Mouse, all made of soap. A baseball bat, a football too, pajamas both in pink and blue.
Oh, Sugar Plum, do dreams come true?
On Christmas Eve, indeed they do. So dream on, children, while you may. Tomorrow is your Christmas day. Sleep tight. Thank God that you are free to laugh and play neath your Christmas tree.
And now Sally Ann and Teddy are fast asleep. But downstairs, behind the bench in the hall, there's something stirring.
Mildred Mouse, come back here this minute.
But Mother Mouse, Billy and I want to see the children's stockings.
Now why do they hang them up like that? And on the mantle, too. It isn't wash day.
I'll scramble up and see, Billy.
You will not, Mildred. Not a creature should stir tonight. And if you do, you'll get a spanking, just as sure as my name is Mrs. Cordelia Mouse.
But why do we have to be so quiet? Everybody's asleep.
Well, it so happens that tonight is a very special night, children.
How? What makes it special?
Well, now, since that's a question that deserves a very special answer, just this once I'll let you stir. Billy, you can go ask Hickory Dickory Dock.
A clock?
Huh. Why should a mouse ask a clock anything?
Mildred, I am surprised. Don't you ever look at your books in mouse school? What's the first thing you learn to read? Hickory Dickory Dock.
The mouse ran up the clock.
Oh, dear. That's right.
Of course. And why would he run up the clock if not to ask him something? So go on, Billy. Ask the clock what night this is and why we must all keep quiet.
All right, here I go. Oh, now I can see his face. Hello, Mr. Hickory Dickory. Can you please tell us two mouse children what night tonight is and why we must be so quiet?
Was the night before Christmas and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Not even a mouse? Hey, you hear that, Mildred?
Yes. Now, ask him about the stockings, Billy.
Why are the stockings hanging up, Hickory Dickory?
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
All right, Billy, that's enough. Come down now.
Oh, yes, gosh. The clock strikes one and down I run.
So, now you know what night tonight is.
The night before Christmas. But what's Christmas, Mother Mouse?
And who's St. Nicholas who's coming to get the stockings?
He isn't coming to get them. He's coming to fill them with toys.
Really?
Oh.
You see, Christmas is a wonderful holiday humans have when St. Nicholas, or Santa Claus as the children call him, goes to every house in the world leaving toys and gifts for good girls and boys.
Every house in the world? How can he get enough toys to go around?
Well, he has a workshop up at the North Pole, and Mrs. Santa helps, and he has lots of other helpers, too. But still, it's a mystery to me how he does it every year. So, last year, when he came here, I asked him.
Oh, you spoke to Santa Claus?
I did. And he said that to reward us mice for being so quiet on Christmas Eve every year, he'd like to have me and my family visit his workshop this year.
What?
Shh. You can't make a bit of noise or the magic won't work. You've got to be as still as still as mice.
Oh, we'll be good.
We promise.
All right, then. In my apron pocket here, I have a magic kernel of corn that Santa gave me last year. Here. Here it is.
Ooh, look at it.
Mildred, You first. Take a tiny bite of it.
All right, Mother Mouse.
Now, don't swallow it. Hold it under your tongue.
Uh-huh.
Now you, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will. Now, we'll sit very quietly, our tails curled neatly, and close our eyes. Close your eyes, Billy.
Oh, sorry.
All hold paws, and then I'll think of the magic word Santa told me, and in no time, we'll be on our way north. Ready, children?
I'm all ready.
All right. Here we go.
My goodness, we must be a million miles in the air. The cities look like toy cities.
Yes. Oh, but we've got a long way to go yet. Hold tight, Billy.
Oh, look. Snow. Everything's covered with snow.
We must be getting near the North Pole now, where everything's always covered with snow.
Mother, look. All those wonderful colored lights down below.
Oh, why, there's lights on trees. A whole forest of trees. All lighted up, just like fairyland.
Oh, my whiskers. It's a Christmas tree forest. It must be. But careful now. We're almost there. Keep tight hold on my paws as we go down. And remember, not a sound when we get there.
All right, Mother Mouse.
Oh, dear, that phone is driving me distracted. Hello, Santa Claus's workshop. Mrs. Santa speaking. What was that? You're Johnny Smith, and you want Santa to bring you caraway pills? What? Oh, a pair of stilts. Well, that does sound a little more... Yes, I'll tell him, Johnny. Oh, it's Donnie? All right, Donnie. It's just so very noisy here, but I do have it. Caraway pills. No, I mean a pair of stilts. Good night, Donnie. Or was it Johnny? Oh, that noise. Spangles! Spangles!
Yes, Mrs. Santa?
How is it the door to the workshop is always being left open? Won't you close it, please?
Yes, of course.
Oh, dear. Now, maybe I can finish that dress for Sally Ann's doll. Back to the sewing machine.
Oh, Mrs. Santa, Mr. Santa told me to ask you...
Oh, how did everything get so piled up for the last minute?
Will the doll be ready to start on time?
Oh, I know we didn't start in time. Each year I tell myself we'll start the day after Christmas. But then we don't.
No, Mrs. Santa, I didn't say that.
Oh.
Santa wants to start packing the sleigh within the hour.
With tin and flour? Well, what can he be thinking of? Of course, I remember when children thought it was a joke if Santa filled their parents' stocking with coal and flour, but that's
years. No, Mrs. Santa, within the hour, Santa wants to pack the sleigh.
Oh, well, to be sure, we'd better pack right away if he wants to get all the children who are expecting him.
He wonders if the dolls are ready.
Oh, the dolls. Oh, ready, of course they're ready. There's just this dress for Sally Ann's doll, and there. Now, it's finished. Where is she? Oh, my goodness, there she is. But what is she doing? She's washing her hair.
She is. Oh, in the water where Santa moored the toy fleet.
Oh, quick, Spangles, run and get her, and a towel.
Yes, Mrs. Santa.
Oh, no, not again. Out of that water, doll child. Oh, good heavens, where is Santa? Why doesn't he answer the phone for a while? Santa! Santa! Oh!
What's the matter, Mr. Santa? I've got our Glamour Girl. She's not very wet.
Oh, go away. Spangles, look on the windowsill. Go away. Shoot.
What's wrong? What's happened?
Oh, Santa. Oh, thank heavens. Look right there on the windowsill.
Why, it's three little mice.
Yes. Yeah, mice.
Oh, dear, we never meant to disturb anyone.
No, my goodness. Answer that phone, Spangler.
Oh,
yes, Santa.
Shoo them away, Santa. Shoo them away at once, or I won't be able to do another thing tonight, and Christmas Eve will be ruined.
Now, my dear, please be calm.
Don't they know that no mouse is supposed to stir on Christmas Eve? How
did they get here?
My dear, I invited them.
It's not that I don't like mice. It's just that... You invited them?
Yes, I invited them. For centuries, mice have been still as can be on Christmas Eve. I decided it was about time a few mice at least knew why. So this is Mrs. Cordelia Mouse, my dear.
How do you know?
And her two children, Mildred and Billy. Is that right, Mrs. Mouse?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. And I can tell you, Mr. Santa Claus, how sorry we are Mrs. Claus is frightened.
Oh, my goodness. I'm the one who's sorry, Mrs. Mouse. Santa is right. It is time that you visited us. And, oh, dear, will you forgive me for screaming? It's just because... Well, everything in such a rush, my
nerves. Of course, we do understand, Mrs. Santa.
Look, look, going out the door.
Oh. Good heavens, it's the clown marionette.
Oh, my gracious, walking off as big as life.
And what's that he's getting into?
Why, he's getting into the toy spaceship, Teddy's spaceship. Hey, hey, hold on there. No, hold on. Ah.
Oh, thank heavens, you got him before he took off.
Yes, but I must say, this clown is a caution, Mother.
Well, you give him to me now, and I'll hold on to his coattail until you're ready to pack him in your bag, which had better be pretty soon, Santa.
Yes, I know. I'll start packing as soon as I check the reindeer. Say, Mrs. Mouse.
Yes?
Would you and your children like to come along?
Golly, yes.
Oh, if it wouldn't be too much trouble.
Oh, take them, Santa. I do feel so sorry about the way I behaved.
All right, here we go. Into my pocket with all three of you. Keep your heads up and you can see out. Are we all ready?
Oh, we're fine, Santa Claus.
Stables right over this way, friends.
Stood still a minute. Hey, now lift the foot. I nail the steel shoe in it. There, now, please give me that next foot. Move over, Dancer, on you to Prancer. Oh, Donner and Blitzen, get off my foot.
Well, Blacksmith, that's quite a song.
Yeah, it makes quicker to work when I sing.
And how's it going? Will they be ready to hitch up to the sleigh in a few minutes?
Oh, all ready right now, Santa. Shall I commence?
Yes, you do that.
Yeah. Hey, you got new trimming on your suit, Santa.
A new trimming?
Yeah, little black buttons along the pocket there.
Black buttons?
Yeah.
Whoa, those are our visitors, Blacksmith. Oh. The Mouse family. Come to see what goes on Christmas Eve at the North Pole.
Oh, mice. That's nice. Hey, it rhymed. It rhymed.
Yes, so it did. Well, I've got to go pack the bag, Blacksmith.
Well, the team will be ready when you are, Santa. Oh, mice. That's nice.
Yes, very funny, Blacksmith. Very funny. All right, Mother. We're ready for the packing now.
All right, Santa.
Any more calls, Spangles?
Oh, one more order for a fire engine, Santa.
Well, have we an extra one? All right. We've got one good. Well, shut it off now, Spangles. Here's my bag. Pop it right in here.
Now, remember, Santa, no dolls on the bottom where they might get broken.
All right, Mother. Electric trains next. Are they all set, Spangles?
Yes, sir, Santa. All set. Well, that one ought to do about 100 miles an hour.
Well, into the bag with it. All the other trains. Here's one for a little boy in Illinois.
Oh, here's one for a boy in California.
Santa, you're really going to have to hurry. It's almost midnight. Here are some cowboy suits and space helmets.
Thank you, Mother. Now, how about those tractors, derricks, and telephone set, Spangles?
Oh, yes.
Here they go, Santa.
Oh, and the regiment of soldiers, Santa, for that little boy in Georgia.
Oh, hey, didn't a band go with that order?
Oh, let me see my list. One regiment of... An army band to lead them. Yes. Now, where is that band?
Here it is.
Oh.
Let's wind it up and see if it works all right.
Oh, Santa. Yes, it works perfectly.
perfect, Fay. Oh, you'll just love it, Santa. Pick it up and put it in the bag, Spangles.
Oh, about time for the dolls now, Mother. Baby dolls all have their bonnets on.
Do you think I'd send out a baby doll without a bonnet in this weather, Santa? My goodness. Put them in gently, Spangles. Now, where is Sally Ann's cosmetic doll?
Oh, my stars. Is she on the loose again? I declare they're making dolls too darn human these days.
Santa, look. Now she's in the spaceship over there.
Oh, dear.
Hold on there. Hold on. My stars, that spaceship has them all fast. But here we are. I got you. And now it's for you, Miss Glamour Girl. Into the bag with you.
And here, let's put the spaceship way on the other side and pack it in tight.
Yes, indeed. Be a fine thing if Teddy's spaceship wound up on the moon tomorrow morning. Well, are we all set now? Well,
I'll go see if the reindeer are ready.
Yes, ready and waiting. Time to take off.
Here, now, let me help you into your fur coat, Santa.
Watch out for our mice family in my pocket, Mother.
Oh.
They're going to get quite a ride home.
I'm watching. You stop laughing. I can't button your coat over your little round belly. Why, you shake when you laugh like a bowl full of jelly.
All right, Mother. Are we all set now?
Mm-hmm.
Then, bag over my shoulder. And off I go. See you tomorrow sometime.
Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, St. Nicholas.
Yes, Mother?
Come back here. Put on your galoshes.
Oh, my goodness.
I declare, you're so anxious to get to those children, you don't take a lick of care of yourself.
Well,
now, you be careful when you slide down those chimneys, especially around New York City.
All right, Mother, all right. Bye.
Teddy! Teddy, wake up!
Huh? What's the matter, Sally Ann?
Listen, out in the lawn there's a terrible clatter. Spring out of your bed and see what's the matter. Run to the window, quick as a flash. Tear open the shutters and throw up the sash.
Sally Ann! Look! Oh, Sally, look!
It's a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
And a little old driver, so lively and quick. I know, Sally Ann, it's our own dear St. Nick.
Now, Dasher, now, Dancer, now, Prancer and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blitzen. To the top of the fort, to the top of the wall. Now, dash away, dash away, dash away all.
They've gathered right up to the roof.
Sally Ann, quick. Well, he's coming down the chimney, down the stairs. Come on.
And there he is. He's all dressed in fur from his head to his foot.
And his clothes are all tarnished from ashes and soot.
A bundle of toys he's got on his back.
Looks like a peddler opening his pack.
His eyes, how they twinkle. His dimples, how merry.
His cheeks are like roses, his nose like a cherry.
What a droll little mouth drawn up like a bow.
And a beard on his chin is as white as the snow.
He's so chubby and plump, a jolly old elf.
I laugh just to watch him, in spite of myself.
He speaks not a word, but goes right to his work.
He filled all the stockings.
Now he turns with a jerk.
Hey, what's jumping out of his pocket? Why, it looks like 3 little mice.
Oh, it can't be. Now he's laying his finger aside of his nose.
Goodbye, Santa Claus. Up the chimney he goes.
He sprints to his sleigh.
To his team gives a whistle.
And away they all go like a down of a thistle.
Santa, say something before you go out of sight.
Happy Christmas to all. And to all, a good night.
Yay!
Yes, there it was, all wrapped up for Christmas. Your favorite holiday story, A Visit from St. Nicholas. The pretenders for today were Sally Ann,
Barbara Caron,
Teddy,
Joe Fallon,
Mother,
Sybil Trent,
Mrs. Mouse,
Daisy Alden,
Mildred Mouse,
Gwen Davies,
Billy Mouse,
Jack Rhymes,
Mrs. Santa Claus,
Miriam Wolfe,
Santa Claus himself,
Michael O'Day.
Spangles.
Robin Morea.
And the blacksmith.
Arthur Anderson.
The original music was composed and conducted by Maurice Brown. Let's Pretend is directed by Gene Height. And Nyla Mack first adapted this story for radio 23 years ago. Since when, we've done it every Christmas for you. But next week, well, Christmas will be over, so we've a brand new story for you about a little girl with a wish you've probably had. She wanted it to be Christmas every day. Don't miss Johanna Johnston's adaptation next week. Meantime, this is Uncle Bill saying Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us. Here's Jim Campbell again.
Yes, pretenders, all of you who love to laugh at the adventures of that very special high school teacher, our Miss Brooks, are hereby alerted to the fact that her show, heard tomorrow over most of these same CBS radio stations, is likely to be especially funny. Our Miss Brooks has hopes of celebrating Christmas without going broke. So don't miss our Miss Brooks tomorrow. And there's comedy with My Little Margie, Sunday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Let's Pretend, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 19th, 1953 on CBS. And that brings to a close this Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Happy holidays.